Santa. So what was the topic today? What were we, I know you've...
So there's a few different things I was tossing around, ideas, but I think, as you know, I like to spend a lot of time sitting here and scrolling through Reddit, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff I end up seeing posted there, especially in the r/EDH, people talk about things that are like pet peeves, like, is this normal behavior? Am I the butthole here?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
With all that, there was one thread I saw and I sent mm-hmm. that I thought was interesting. It was just people talking about like the behaviors and things like that they see at tables that they don't necessarily like. Mm-hmm. And we're not trying to call out things here because a lot of people just don't like things that make them lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Beyond that, like there's things into like the manner, the etiquette, how you play magic, things mm-hmm. that you might not be conscious of. Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, one of the things I was reading, and it wasn't in that thread, is people complain about stacks, right? Mm-hmm. For people that aren't familiar, stacks is a control type deck that slows the game, makes it harder for you to play, makes it so that things take longer to get out. So like Thalia is a really good one where she makes things more expensive, right? Mm-hmm. The name comes from smokestacks, which every upkeep you have the choice to put a soot counter on it, and then during your upkeep you have to sacrifice that many permanents. Mm-hmm. And it's just every time it's your upkeep you have the choice to put more, so you can put two on there, then everyone has to sacrifice two on their upkeep, and then when it gets to you, you're like, oh, let's make it three. People don't like that.
Yeah.
And then like we've talked about winner's orb, other things like that, like things that make playing the game take longer. Mm-hmm. But in general, stacks gets a lot of hate, but the reason it gets hate is because it's very good at dealing with control, but people don't like when people play control.
Uh-huh.
So then when you shame people and say, oh, you're not allowed to play those really big control decks, and then stacks shows up and it's like, well, now you can't play stacks because the thing it's good against stopping isn't at the table.
Uh-huh.
Right. So like there's a synergy that you mess up whenever you're like, oh, hey, well, I don't like this, so you're not allowed to play it.
Yeah. That's a difficult thing, you know, like because I'm looking at the thread right now and I'm seeing some stuff that people are saying, and it's difficult because like you said, if you and we talked about this in a previous episode about, you know, house banning certain cards and that sort of thing. Like you said, if you start completely saying no control, no stacks, no things, it potentially can cause, like, it gets to the point where it's not fun because nobody can play anything at that point. It's just basically like, what are we just supposed to play big creatures? And can't? Yeah, it's a hard thing because I think every person has something that makes the game unfun to them, but that same thing is what's fun to another person.
Right. There's another thread I saw where someone was complaining about longer games and playing like unoptimally and stuff like that, and there's a comment someone put in there that it's like from the older player perspective. Mm-hmm. People who've been playing EDH since it was actually EDH and not Commander.
Mm-hmm.
Your decks weren't these fast decks, right? Your card pool wasn't tuned for Commander. You didn't have a lot of like legendaries out there that you could be using. In general, the game was like, oh hey, let's use all these bulk cards mm-hmm. that don't get play anywhere else, and let's have some fun with it. And those mm-hmm. games took longer.
Mm-hmm.
In general, they were longer games, and older players tend to be okay with that mindset of not playing optimally. And it's like that whole, where in the life cycle of an EDH player are you, right?
Yeah.
Where you come in, you're like, okay, well, we're gonna have some fun with this, we're gonna start optimizing my deck, and it gets a little bit faster, and then it gets a little too samey, and then you're like, okay, well, let's tune it down.
Mm-hmm.
And let's have more fun with my game rather than just try to stomp face every time. And then like you go through that cycle again where you pick up something different. And like there's a video I linked in your Discord about it,
mm-hmm.
where you're somewhere in that life cycle typically. And not everyone goes every, but the idea being that you're going to be at somewhere else than the other people at the table, mm-hmm. right? You're going to have that person who shows up who has that really tuned, arguably maybe CEDH level, high power level, whatever you want to call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That deck's there to win. Maybe it's that really good control deck, right? That deck where, you know, they have to be arch enemy, otherwise they're going to win,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You get tired of that, and it's like, okay, well, let's maybe take Craterhoof out, and let's put in something else, right?
Yeah, and just so that way viewers can check it out, and we'll link it in the description. It's an EDH rec cast, The Evolution of a Commander Player, from YouTube. And I'll admit, I didn't have a chance to watch that one, but there are some people, like myself, like I kind of go through a sort of evolution like this, where, because, see, like, the type of decks I like to play are usually silly. They're usually trying to do something. Yeah, winning is an extra bonus if I can make it happen. But for the most part, a lot of the stuff I'm trying to do, the deck has a specific thing I'm trying to do. Whether that's making the biggest creature at the table, whether that's making a massive army of zombies that are huge, whether I win or not, as long as I make the massive army, right, I feel like I've won. And then I do go through a point where it's like, okay, well, I haven't won a game in a really long time. I would like to win maybe once or twice, so I do add a couple of things here and there. But I don't, like, tune it to the point of, like, insanity. This is actually part of the reason why when I tried Dual Commander at my local shop, I didn't care for the experience. Not because I think Dual Commander is a bad way to play the game. It's just not the way I like to play the game because it's super competitive. And, you know, I like being on the sidelines for those kind of games because I get into playing a game like that, I stop having fun because I'm having to think about so many things that I'm like, why am I doing this? I just want to make big zombies. That's all I want to do.
Grave Titans.
Yeah, exactly.
The card that popped in my head when we were talking about this is like, do you play Colossal Dreadmaw, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's not optimal, but it's Colossal Dreadmaw.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
you're there to have fun. You're there to have a good time. You're going to get the CD on the field, right? Mm-hmm. But, and I kind of, I'm the same way. Like, I have a decks that are, they're honestly really at different power levels, but I don't build to a power level. Mm-hmm. Like, I say, okay, here's a thing I want to do. How am I going to do this? And like, what's the side flavor, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And depending on what it is, because like, I have an Aristocrats deck I haven't busted out for the channel yet. I have a Stacks deck too that I haven't, that I'm afraid to bust out because I don't know if it's going to work at all. But that's the whole thing, right? Like, it's, we're going to try this, and it's not necessarily like, okay, how do I get the biggest thing to stomp your face, right?
Uh-huh.
And my hurdy-gurdy deck, my Sigarda, like, we saw that. It's not great. It's semi-Voltron is really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's trying different things. And the whole point of that deck was to just do weird things because people plan for like those mainline strategies all the time, right? Mm-hmm. People don't plan for how they're going to get past banding with Annihilator.
Yeah.
It's that whole thing though. Like we understand where we are in that life cycle. And I can see it with all these other decks I've built because, you know, I have too many and I have a problem. But it's to the same point. Like, I built that goat theme deck just because I wanted goats.
Uh-huh.
Right. And it's the same thing. Like, you have your Relentless Rat deck. It's good for doing that, but it's on theme. It's not probably the optimal strategy. Like, I have my Crab Mill deck that's not, you know, Dimir Colors Ruin Crab. That's the best one out there. Like, I went Simic. I'm like, okay, we're going hard into Landfall. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think while you were talking, it made me realize, like, talking about the decks and talking about, you know, like, my rat deck and your hurdy-gurdy deck or your goat deck, I think that's part of the reason why I'm so drawn to Tron. That's a weird sentence to say. Drawn to Tron. Wah.
With the speedy bikes, right? With the lines.
Yeah. I need to that's a shirt right there. I'm gonna make that a shirt. But anyways, the reason why I'm drawn to it is even though it is like, it can be a competitive deck, and and in fact the version I've built is a modern deck. What I like about Tron is, for me, the goal is to get an Eldrazi on the board. Like, that is my win con. If I get, now it also happens to be a win con for the deck.
Yeah. But, yeah. I've, like, seen it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like, once you get the Eldrazi on the board, you're probably going to win. But at that point, whether I win or not, I'm happy that I got the Eldrazi on the board. And I'm like, yay, I got there. And like, and if I get the win, that's just a nice little bonus. You know, and yeah, like I can say that if I go too long without getting the win with the Eldrazi on the board, then I start to get a little like, oh geez, I wish it would win, and maybe I set it aside for a little bit. But I think that's why I'm drawn to it, is because it has this thesis to it that I want to get to, whether or not I win the game, or, you know, whether or not I win the game.
And I think that's a big piece where, again, like, you and I are kind of in that maturity point in our player life cycle, right? where we're about having fun that isn't necessarily winning.
Yeah.
Right. Because like to the same point, like when I played Hurdy-Gurdy, I helped you on accident. Right. Yeah. Like I had some like group hug things going on there.
Yeah.
That was meant for multiplayer. Right. Like yeah. It was like, okay, well this hurts, but we're going for it. Right. Like, and like, even then with like your Tron deck, I remember one of those games I played against you, I almost milled you out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And like, that's hard because like when you get Ulamog out, it's not instant win. It's a painful, you have three turns.
Yep.
Maybe two.
Yep. Yeah. It's, But at the same time, and I want to be clear, I don't want it to sound like we're, you know, being negative on the folks that no. just want to win, that like that's their goal. They like winning. They, you know, I don't want to give that impression either, because I understand it does feel good to win.
Well, that, but like you want a challenge too, right? Because yeah. if you're only playing against people who are always the same like mindedness, right? Like, yeah, it's fun and all, but like, okay, and like how do I step up to that game, right? Or in the same case, like if you have a pod and someone is a little bit higher power level, not like crazy, right? But like, no, they built a deck that's good at doing what it's supposed to do and they're there to win the game. You know, that's a different challenge. And I think that's also the fun of the game for me, at least, is I build crazy things and I want to see what crazy things you built and how are they going to interact, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people get really salty though, right? And like that thread had a lot in it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the interaction, right? How dare you cancel my, you know, haymaker? How dare you shatter my glass cannon? How dare you make it so I can't play my game of solitaire?
Yeah, like, you know, yeah. Well, I remember, you know, the shattering a glass cannon is so amusing to me because I remember, and I will fully admit this, I've built glass cannon decks before, and for listeners, glass cannon is usually a combo or a win condition that you need to build, and if somebody can break it, then it just breaks apart and you can't win, essentially.
Yeah, think of it as like, you know, destroying their Urza tower.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That that's a good example. But I really like, I used to build a lot of decks that were very glass cannon like, and I did get really annoyed when people would destroy, you know, would dismantle it before I could get it online. And I remember I was playing a game against a buddy and he was building a glass cannon, and I realized if I don't destroy that artifact, I can't remember what it was, I'm going to lose the game. So I have to do it. And I destroyed it and he was fine. He was like, oh yeah, well, you know, all's fair, you know, just like,
yeah,
and he
just went, that's how it goes, like.
And it made me realize, like, holy crap, I'm getting so salty over all this stuff where all they're trying to do is just win the game. Like, you know, and I recognized that. And that was actually, I think, when I started thinking about decks in that way, where they're like, my decks, at least, where there's a thesis to it. But then there's also, if it wins, great. And I realized what I was trying to do was, I was kind of like with Tron, I was trying to build something that would win me the game, but was also the thesis of what I was trying to do. And I was getting upset when people weren't letting me do that. So I started trying to find decks and things that maybe had a little bit of different gameplay that isn't necessarily directly tied to winning, you know, just to be, you know, just to have fun.
Right. I mean, it makes you think about it too, because like, I think the piece of advice that people always give out there too, when you're wanting to like step up your gameplay, get better, is add more interaction, right? Mm-hmm. Don't just focus on playing your game. You need to focus on playing against other people's games.
Yeah.
Right. Because if all you're both just sitting there playing solitaire, just it's whoever pops off first. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you can throw a wrench into that cog and their machine goes fully berserk and explodes, like, isn't that even better?
Yeah.
Because like, to the same point, like I think back to like, again, that game where I was playing my Hurdy-Gurdy deck, I was searching my deck for answers to you. Like, I didn't have any board wipes in there. No, it wasn't the Hurdy-Gurdy. It was my Urlash deck, because the whole point of the deck is for me to have a token army, right? Like,
yeah,
it's counterintuitive for me to wipe the board, but you had a bad board that I was going against. And I was like, I can't deal with this. Like, you know, it's like I was lacking that level of interaction there, but that's also because, again, like, that there's that hope that someone else at the table would be able to handle something like that, but you can't rely on other people to play the game for you.
Oh yeah.
It reminds me of, there was that debacle like a couple months ago where it's like that CDH game and they're like, waiting for someone else to spend their interaction to stop someone from winning.
Yep.
And then the person's like, no, I'm just going to let it happen because of you.
Yeah. That was mana bullying. They were mana bullying. They were trying to force somebody else to tap mana so that way they could respond to it. And the other person realized, well, yeah, if I do that, yeah, you make it so that guy can't win the game, but you're also going to make it that I can't win the game. So yeah, no, I'm losing the game either way. So, you know,
right.
And that was actually a bit of a controversy at the time. But yeah, like, you know, but and I was thinking about when I was playing some, I played a lot of limited over the past couple of weeks, and various different types, sealed and draft and all of that, and also really random silliness. But there definitely were times, and when I play limited, I do tend to play more to win. Like, that's actually, for me, that's my play to win scenario. A lot of what we've been talking about have been my kitchen table and or commander decks.
I was going to say, we talk a lot about the constructed, the ones where you sit there and go, okay, this is my brew, this is the ingredients, this is
exactly
like how I want this machine to work. But you're talking about draft and all that stuff where it's like, okay, well, I'm not going here just to put together a terrible deck and lose all night.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm actually trying to build something. And that's part of the reason why I like limited, because it even though I would not consider myself even a good player. I would consider myself a medium to mediocre player. But I am better as a player because I play so much limited, because it has forced me to think about, you know, with drafts and like looking for synergies and evaluating cards and also, you know, looking at signals coming through with the draft, and then also building the deck, you know, okay, now I have my pool, what am I going to do with it? And then in the games itself, you know, just trying to win those games. And I remember there was one particular situation where I was playing in a Wilds of Eldraine draft, and Wilds of Eldraine is full of enchantments, and my stupid self did not get any enchantment removal. I got creature removal. I focused on creature removal. I had a ton of creature removal in that deck, but I didn't have any enchantment removal, and somebody dropped an Impact Tremors, and then they dropped another Impact Tremors, and I had, so basically, and then they had a Song of Totentots, and they had 10 mana on the board, and so they basically were able to play Song of Totentots for 9 and hit me for 18 damage in one swoop. Song of Totentots is X and a red, and you make X number of 1/1 rat creatures that can't block, and then all your creatures gain haste. So he was able to drop 9 creatures. They did 18 damage via Impact Tremors, and then he could have attacked for another 9 damage. So even if I had had a ton of life gain, I probably would have been dead at that point regardless. So, but it did, but
the irony there.
Okay.
The irony there is you don't have that much creature removal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, even in those scenarios, you know, it's important to have the interaction. It's important to have removal. And you also need to recognize, like, 'cause even with us doing our silliness, we know that we need to have interaction, because even if what we want to do is something a little bit different than full on winning the game, for us to do that, we are going to need to stop people from doing their thing, you know, or stop them from trying to stop us from doing our thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a point to it, though, as well, right, where, like, we're not playing these, you know, pro decks where they're tuned to say, okay, well, I have this much interaction here because I know, like, they're going to be playing these creatures. I need creature removal. I need at this stage, or cancels here, or this there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of those like top end like modern pioneer decks sit, mm-hmm. where they're tuned to go against each other, really, yeah. is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Not when you show up with relentless rats.
Yeah.
which it might not fare well, but you know, like, it's not what people expect. And it's the same thing as like the story I was telling before, where I showed up to like the one time I did a modern thing, and like I wasn't playing anything meta at all, right? And I only won one game out of everything, right? But they were so salty about it because I wasn't playing meta,
yeah.
right? Because like they just didn't have things to counteract what I was doing, because like they were just running cancels and whatever else blue counter magic was, and as soon as they run out of juice and you just happen to be alive still, it's like, guess what? I'm pumping out more.
Yep.
Which is also why I love green, because it's like you have to stop this train, right? This train's yeah. going to hit you.
Yeah. And you have to either get out of the way or figure out a way how to get it off the tracks, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But it's one of those things where the only limited I've ever done was like a pre-release.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done some on Arena for like the draft stuff there, because I was like trying to get cards for like a Kamigawa deck I was building.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's hard. Mm-hmm. That's really hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting, and it's fun, because it's not the, you don't have to worry about all the other cards going around from the previous sets and like what are people going to be showing up with that's been tuned to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of luck and then some skill sprinkled on top.
Yeah, like that's, I think that's the thing that I do like about it, is that like it used to be overwhelming for me. I used to avoid draft for the longest time, and I just stuck with kitchen table. In fact, I didn't even really want to play at a game store back then, because I only wanted to play with people I knew. Because I was frankly concerned. I was concerned about saltiness, and I was concerned about me being salty, because I, you know, I was still, I'll admit, I was still a little immature at the time, and I didn't like losing games. And I didn't want to expose people to that. I didn't want people to see this grown man getting pissy. And I recognized, you know, at some point I recognized, you know what, I've been playing long enough. I'm not as much of a punk anymore. Let me go to the game store and try out some stuff. And I didn't like I didn't really care for the standard and modern play, you know, style at the time. Draft was a little bit more casual. You know, the people who played draft, a little bit more laid back. They were, you know, I learned very quickly that draft humbles you, and it humbles you quickly. And but as time went on, I started to understand that even with different sets, there's certain through lines through draft that you learn over time, and you really can only do it after doing it a lot. And I just really like the playstyle and how the playstyle stays fresh because you get new sets and everything. But at the same time, with EDH, I like, it's kind of like the two sides of the spectrum, because with EDH,
right,
it is more established. You can have your pet decks that you can always go to, but at the same time, you can, if you do get bored, you can freshen it up and try different things. And now that EDH is such a powerhouse of a format, it's pretty much everywhere you go, you can find a pod. You can, or at least, you know, you even online now, you go on Spell Table and find a pod. You can even freshen up like the who you're playing against, because that was another thing that, you know, like, sorry Derb, sorry Eric, if you're listening to this, but y'all got boring playing your same decks for 15 years. So I was like, I want something new, and that was another reason why I started going to the store. So anyways,
way to just call out your friends there and throw them out under the bus.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, they would do the same to me.
I mean, to be fair, you probably were doing it too. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like I guarantee you, they were sick and tired of dealing with my janky pre Tron Eldrazi poo that I was bringing week and my rat deck.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, because like a little bit of a side thought there from what you were talking about, but I think the part where EDH still has a lot of flavor fun for me is, again, we're not talking about high power level there to win, but with all these sets that keep coming out that have slight flavors to them, like this one had like these token enchantments, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like you can say, okay, well, what older cards can I mix with this to do something different?
Yeah.
Right. And like, you can start melding together things that just were unusable to jank.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And like now, like with all these token enchantments, people are going crazy about the new braids, from the Dominaria set, because it's like, oh, guess what? I can just sacrifice that whole whatchamacallit enchantment that makes me a 1/1, and now I have a 3/2 on the field that costs me one. Right?
It doesn't
have to be bad.
yeah, exactly. And this actually brings up an interesting point that, again, is a little bit off topic from what we originally started with, but I do think it's interesting in the evolution of the game. One of the things about the token enchantments that they really liked in playtesting was the fact that, like, one of the least popular types of cards in the game is enchantment auras, because if it's really easy to 2-for-1 yourself. It's really easy to say, okay, I'm going to play this creature, I'm going to put an enchantment on it, and then my opponent goes, terror your creature. Your creature is dead. Like, I kill your creature. So now you lose the creature and you lose the enchantment. And so you've now wasted two cards and the mana to pay for them in that turn, which from a gameplay perspective kind of sucks. And if you've ever wondered why people like artifact equipment more than they liked enchantment auras, this is the reason why. Because when the creature dies, you at least get to keep the equipment. Well, with Wilds of Eldraine, them creating token enchantments, they have all but eliminated that. And I have a prediction. I think we're going to see, I wouldn't be surprised if token enchantments become a deciduous mechanic. Deciduous mechanic is a mechanic kind of like sagas. Sagas is a deciduous mechanic. I wouldn't be surprised if we see it as a deciduous mechanic because of how popular it is.
The classes or roles, I think they're roles.
Yeah.
That they picked aren't Eldraine specific. They're fantasy lore, right? And guess what? You can reuse those.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And also they aren't necessarily limited to those as well. Like they could have, you know, they could create other, like, well, heck, even the monster one could easily be used on Ikoria. Wicked can be used different. Cursed could be used anywhere, you know.
Thinking of cards like Arrest and Pacify and like Oblivion Ring, right? Where it's like, oh, hey, you exile it under this.
Mm-hmm.
What if that just ends up being like the, you play this in this enchantment or artifact or whatever, and you add a like arrested token to a creature that gets a pacify type effect, right?
Uh-huh.
Things like that can even be started to be done where it's not exiled, but it has like a little thing, like it's wearing handcuffs, right?
Yep.
Like you
can
deal with it that way too. Like there's so much freedom to it that, and again, like the cards giving these tokens aren't just a one-off typically. Like they have other value to them, which is where you're not losing out on them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, well, and that's the thing. Like I think that's the one exception, going back to what I was saying before, the one exception for the dislike of enchantment auras is those situations like Pacify and Oblivion Ring, or not Oblivion Ring, that's an artifact. My God. What was the one? Ossification.
Oblivion Ring's an enchantment. Yeah.
Yeah, and Ossification was one from
Yeah, because like those are the white control. That's all white has for control.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But they were the only ones because those aren't 2-for-1s because you're enchanting your opponent's creature. So that's a little bit better. But yeah, like I remember I built a life gain deck that revolved around getting those 1-mana like soul attendant, soul, you know, whatever, that every time a creature
enters, soul sisters.
Hey, sister, soul sister. sorry, that just started flowing through my head. And soul's attendant and all those. That gives every time a creature enters the battlefield, you gain 1 life, and then Ajani's pride mate. Every time you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on Ajani's pride mate. And then what I did was, and I thought I was being clever. I was like, okay, and now I'm going to put this enchantment on it. And I'm going to put this enchantment on it. I'm going to put this enchantment on it. And I decided, and it was essentially it was a kitchen table go tall deck, essentially. And I couldn't win a game to save my life with that damn thing. I'd be at 500 life, and my buddy would be like, oh, okay, I loop, and everyone loses. And I'd just be like, ah, crap. And the reason was because they couldn't kill me, but they could kill my creature. And so I would spend like, they would just wait. And I'd just spend like 4 or 5 turns and have this monster creature. And I would have a couple other beside them that would make it that they couldn't get through my board to get to me. But I had 500 life, so it didn't matter. And then they would go, oh, here's my, you know, whatever, terror, or my, you know, oh, crap, what's the hero's downfall, you know, or whatever. Your creature's gone, you know, whatever. And it's like, okay, well, that was an entire game wasted. <You know?
laughs> Yeah, it's like, oh, guess what? Fog.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. So many times. And like, you want to talk about you, that 2-for-1? Baby, I had a 9-for-1, man. That was as bad as it would get for me.
Well, that's the thing. Like, again, that's why you play interaction, right?
Yeah.
Because to be fair, like that strategy you're talking about there is a, not to trash talk you, but that's like a beginner level deck build.
Oh, yeah. It was. Because
like,
absolutely was.
Life gain doesn't have the value people think it does. And like, when you start playing the game, you're like, oh, yeah, cool. I'll raise my life total to the point where they just can't kill me.
It's yeah.
Like, but they can just infinite combo, or they could, you know, do this other thing and then you can't kill them. Right.
Or they like, they just hold out until you mill yourself, you know, or whatever.
I was gonna say, or mill.
Yeah.
Which makes so many people salty too, but I get it, right? Because it's like, well, you're not letting me play my cards. It's like, oh, they're there. If you had any graveyard recursion, I couldn't stop you.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I'm just helping you, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a mill deck I want to build that I'm like wanting to tinker with, but I want my computer to do it. Because like that Cruel Somnophage, I think is how you say it.
Uh-huh.
That came out in that set. Like that's just screams build another mill deck around me.
Oh yeah. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And like that's not what I need, but you know I'm going to. But
oh yeah.
Yeah, that's besides the point. That's again, it's like, you know, the archetype people don't like to play against. But one of the things that was in that thread circling all the way back, that I think we can all agree on, right? As a bad manner, don't do this, be a better person, is pay attention at the table. Don't be on your phone. If it's not your turn, don't just be off on Reddit or, you know, swiping on your dating app or whatever it is. Like, that's why you need to play more interaction for one. But like, you need to be thinking about what you're going to be doing when your turn comes up. It's like, okay, I know what I have. I'm going to get one, potentially maybe more, depending on my deck. Additions to that I might need to tweak my idea. But it's like, okay, so I plan on doing this, that we can go, right?
Yeah.
And it's not often that your turn should be a 20-minute turn if you're not winning.
Yeah.
And also shouldn't get to the point that you forget whose turn it is.
Yeah. Pay attention to what you're doing. Even if you like, you know, and we've all done it. We've passed the turn. We know it's going to be 15 minutes at least until we get to play again. We know our general, you know, whatever. So we hop on our phone real quick to see what's going on, but still keep an ear out to the game. Pay attention to what's going on. You know,
there's a few different behaviors there that I've heard people talk about and other things that can happen too. And like the one big thing is like, if it's your turn, you don't get to participate in the side chat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you focus on playing the game.
Yeah.
And if someone's not paying attention for their interaction to come around, that's on them, but you need to be paying attention to your turn.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that comes with this, and it's, I think there was, again, a comment on it. It's not just Magic specific. This is any game you're playing with people. Be respectful of them and their time, too. Because, like, there's been countless times playing, like, D&D and other tabletop games where people are too busy off to the side doing whatever. And you just stop calling on them for what's ever going on. If it's in combat, it's, like, so much more painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, hey, it's your turn. And they're like, oh, yeah, what's going on? It's like, where have you been?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the thing is this is easier in some scenarios than it is in others, because in some scenarios, if you're at a local game store, like it's just respectful, like, because you're probably playing with a couple people who you see every now and again, but you're not super close with, but you like spending time with them. You like playing Magic with them. It's great. It's fine. But then there's other situations where you might be hanging out with friends that you haven't seen in 6 months because you all have kids now and your time is no longer yours anymore. And so you want to talk about shit. You want to catch up. You want to, but
even then, because I think of like my D&D play group, like usually the first half hour is just us shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And then we get into it, right? You don't start playing at whatever time you said, but you understand that typically 30 minutes in, we're doing it. Some side jokes may come up or whatever, but like, get back to the game. We're all there to play a game, right?
Yeah.
And it's just more respectful that way too. But it's the same thing. Like, you know, sometimes people get a little too drinky and, you know, conversations get a little too sidebarred, right? Like, worse than our podcast sidebarred.
Oh man, that's bad. You listeners,
at least we're talking about magic mostly, right?
Yeah, exactly. But you listeners have no idea how much I cut out of episodes. It's I get rambly. I get very rambly. I do apologize. That's a very good point. And that's what I think people should try to do. You know, it's like, also I'm also becoming aware that we probably sound like, and we probably have for the past couple episodes, and I hope our listeners don't take this as what we're trying to be. We sound like, oh, you should be the thing. This is how you should be. And this is, we know what we're talking about because we're dudes, you know? That's really not what we're saying. I think what we're saying is these are things you want to try to think about, you know, like things that you know, it's important that you got to respect people's time. It's important to, you know, understand that everybody's coming to the table with a different perspective. Even if it's a similar perspective, it's still different, mm-hmm. you know?
Definitely. That's a great point. And the thing too is, like, we're talking about this because we've been on both sides of it.
Oh yeah. 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 Oh yeah.
We're not just sitting here going, how dare they do this? I've been the culprit before, you know, it's recognizing that, like, oh, hey, maybe that wasn't great of me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. There are so many games where it's like I walked away at the time thinking, yeah, I'm in the right. And then like a couple years later, I'm like, oh God, I was such an idiot. I was not in the right at all. And those are the ones that come crashing through my head like a Kool-Aid man in the middle of a, you know, while I'm sitting there washing the dishes. Like, remember when you sucked? And that about does it for today's discussion on Beyond the Deck Box, where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering. You can find us each week on the YouTube channel FDSMTG, or you can find us anywhere you get your podcasts. Just look for Beyond the Deck Box. You can find DM Dingo on Twitch, or you can find him on the FDSMTG Discord, link in the description. You can find me, FDSMTG, on YouTube, or at FDS_MTG on Threads, or on Mastodon, kind.social. Thank you so much for tuning in, and you all have a wonderful day. I almost get it. The game. Let me try that again in English with words.